I could make one.
Then what's the problem?
Roxy smiled, and leaning into him, she rubbed up against him, her bare skin on his. Sean suddenly felt a little self-conscious. Roxy had a point. He couldn't do this all in a day, and he doubted anyone was expecting him to.
I guess you're right, hon, Sean said, leaning back into her a little as well.
Of course I'm right, Roxy smiled. So you fix your tarball spell like you mentioned, and then start figuring out this new device. Dalen and I can run over to her friends and see about getting them to make more of these necklaces and tags, so you'll have a supply when you need them.
What'll I do? Jolene asked.
Roxy grinned as she sat back up straight, thrusting her chest out, which drew Sean's eyes like a magnet.
Keep him motivated.
Actually, Sean said, I think I need to go to the bank and get some more money. I'm broke now, and I don't think either of you have anything left either.
Why not use your credit card? Dalen asked.
Because Joe's uncle has been using one of the credit agencies to track whenever I use it, to find out where I am.
So, write a check.
What's a check? Sean asked, and then laughed as Dalen smacked him one. Okay, I'll see about getting a checkbook or something, he said while rubbing his arm. She might be small, but she most certainly wasn't weak.
We should probably check in with Sawyer, too, Jolene said. I need to see what new info he's got for me, especially after that bombshell you just dropped on us.
Well, just make sure you keep him out of trouble,
Roxy said, and leaning forward, she kissed Sean.
Huh. I'm starting to think that's something that even you can't do, Rox.
Well, at least make the attempt,
Roxy grinned,
and I'll be sure to reward you for efforts.
Sean laughed as Jolene licked her lips and leered at Roxy, while Dalen looked slightly scandalized. Roxy and Dalen. Roxy noticed that Dalen had changed back to her habitual coveralls and was wearing much more sensible shoes than she tended to wear when Sean was around.
Don't like dressing up?
Roxy asked as they drove.
Well,
Dalen sighed, and then just decided to be honest.
I got so tired of the negative attention I was getting for being tall that I just started trying to be anonymous, to blend in and not be seen. So it got to be a habit. Plus, it's just a lot easier to work in.
Well, at least you're not wearing those around Sean.
Dalen laughed.
Trust me, he's already peeled me out of them more than once. For some reason, he really seems to like them.
Well, it's kind of obvious that you're naked under them,
Roxy teased.
I'm naked under my other clothes, too,
Dalen snorted.
But it's a lot more obvious under those coveralls you're wearing,
Roxy grinned.
Seeing as that zipper seems to always be working its way south.
Dalen laughed.
What can I say? I get a little hot sometimes.
She glanced down at her chest.
They need the air.
And you like the looks too, I bet.
Roxy laughed as well.
Yeah, I did. It was nice to know I still had something they wanted to look at. Of course, now that I've got Sean, I don't think I need that anymore.
Yeah, it's always nice being looked at. And it's even better when they know they can't have it.
Roxy smirked. Dalen smiled as she pulled into a parking lot for a rather nondescript factory.
You know, you've got a hell of a point there.
And parking the car, she grabbed the zipper on her coverall and pulled it down to her navel.
Time to start handing out regrets,
Roxy giggled.
Oh, hell yeah,
Dalen nodded and parked the car.
I got a man like most gals only dream of, and most guys mind their manners around. I'm definitely going to be rubbing this in.
That's the spirit.
Getting out of the van, they went in through one of the building's side doors, and Dalen led Roxy past a bunch of heavy machinery, where all the workers were obviously dwarves.
Why isn't this all underground?
Roxy asked.
'Cause with satellites and all that, we need a place for goods to go, products to come out of, and chimneys to be built. So they don't see smoke coming out of hillsides where there aren't any factories. Oh, a lot of stuff still gets made underground, but everything gets routed through an above-ground place like this one.
Roxy nodded.
Smart.
Of course it is. We're dwarves.
Dalen grinned. Dalen led her into an office off the corner of the factory floor,
An older dwarf that Roxy recalled from Sean's birthday party was there, along with a second one who was working on something at one of the drafting tables there. The other tables were all currently empty.
"Garth,"
Dalen said, coming into the room.
"Got time for an order?"
"Dalen, how's married life treating you?"
Garth said, coming out from behind a rather large desk with drawings and plans spread all over it.
"Must be pretty good if you've taken a taunt in my boys."
Dalen smiled and hugged Garth.
"Roxy, right?"
Garth said, sticking out a hand. Roxy nodded and shook hands. Garth was several inches shorter than her, but Roxy bet he probably weighed twice as much. He looked like he bench-pressed the heavy machines they'd passed on the way in.
"So, what do you need?"
Garth asked, looking back at Roxy.
"Necklaces, like the one Rox there is wearing, made out of tungsten."
"I'm not a jeweler, Day. You know that."
10,000 is the initial order,"
Dalen grinned.
"That many?" Garth's eyes widened a bit. "This is something for your man, isn't it?"
Dalen nodded.
"May I see it, please?"
Garth asked Roxy, holding out his hand.
"Sure,"
Roxy said, and taking it off, she handed it to him.
"Have a seat."
Garth motioned towards the chairs by his desk as he went and sat behind it. As Roxy and Dalen watched, he pulled out a mechanical pencil and a piece of paper and started making a series of drawings, starting with the mechanical catch, and progressing through the links fairly quickly.
"Same kind of stone?"
he asked.
"Yes, please," Dalen nodded.
"At 10,000, I can give you a unit cost of about $50 per, so... 500,000 total. 100,000 up front, 40,000 with each delivery of 1,000 pieces."
50 each? You'd do that to your own cousin? Your own flesh and blood?"
Dalen said dramatically.
"Maybe I should have went and talked to Farrah's kids. They'd at least give me a wink when they delivered that kind of quote."
Garth shook his head.
"Hey, really now? I'd have to pull a dozen men off of more important projects. It'll cost me time and money. Sure, you're family, but you know how it is."
"I know that chain is a standard product, and it don't cost no 50 per."
"Well, that may be, but that clasp, it's pretty involved."
20 per, Garth, and I won't come back there and smack you upside the head with Maxwell."
20? Day, really? A dwarf's gotta eat, and then there's my family." 30.
25 and not a penny more, or I'll talk to Lisa about how you've been treating her best friend."
"Blackmail," Garth protested.
"Of course. So do we have a deal?"
Garth sighed and stuck out his hand, and they both shook on it.
"Give them to us in lots of 500, Dalen said. "How soon can you start turning them out?"
Garth smiled and handed the necklace back to Roxy.
"How soon can you pay?"
"I got 50K on account with my Uncle Samus. Tell him it's yours now."
"Okay. I got the stock and know where to get the chain. I think I can get the tiger eyes pretty quick. They're not a precious stone after all. Dolph's probably got a stock of them. So say a box of production samples on Wednesday, and if those are approved, I'll start deliveries in a week."
"That works. Now loan me a piece of paper and that pencil."
Roxy watched with interest as Dalen quickly drew a sketch of the tag that had the protection from Silver Spell on it. She then made a few notes on the side about materials, put in all the measurements, and pushed it back to Garth.
"You're sure about those dimensions?"
Roxy asked Dalen, a bit surprised.
"Course I am. I held it, didn't I?"
"I can do these at 3 per unit," Garth said.
"Why so cheap?"
Roxy asked, surprised.
"'Cause I'll just stamp them out of a sheet of tungsten. These are actually pretty standard. We used to use them for equipment tags. I just need to make a new set of stamp dies."
"Well, in that case, why not $2?
Roxy asked. Garth stared at Roxy while Dalen laughed.
"Better take her up on it, Garth, or I'll get you down to 1.
"Fine. 2 it is,"
Garth said, and shook hands with both of them.
"I'll have most of them done by next Friday. Where do you want them delivered?"
"Pack up a dozen with the sample batch of necklaces. We'll need them for some tests. Put the rest in my home,"
Dalen said.
"I'm not living there right now, so it's as good a place as any, and I won't be tying up your warehouse space."
And when can I expect payment?
When I see you next, of course. Thanks, Garth. Come on, Rox. Let's go.
Bramph, Garth said to the other dwarf as they left the office. Go check with Lars in the warehouse and see if we have any stock on this chain, or if we need to order some.
Roxy followed Dalen out of the office and left the two men to discuss their order.
What's to stop him from asking your uncle for more?
Roxy asked, once they'd gotten back to the car.
Oh, he'd never do that. It'd get around as soon as I heard of it, and he'd be shamed right out of the community. Money and debts are pretty serious things for us.
Still, he hit you with quite a high price, didn't he?
Dalen chuckled.
Eh, haggling is a way of life. So, back home?
Actually, I was wondering if we could go someplace where I could call my father and let him know I'm all right.
Roxy sighed.
Sean may have told him, but I'm sure he wants to hear my own voice.
Dalen nodded, and pulling out of the parking spot, took off like a rocket.
Might as well go to my place. The phones down in the community are all nice and hard to track. Hell, even the telemarketers don't call us.
Sean smiled at Jolene as they left the bank and drove to the lawyer's office. He'd taken out 150 grand this time and gotten a book of checks. He'd told them to send the order for the rest to his lawyer when they came in, as Sean didn't have a real address anymore, with his mom's house gone. The only surprising thing was his balance was now up to almost $1 million. Obviously, some of the necklaces had sold. Thankfully, with Jolene there, the bank president hadn't asked too many questions, and had been satisfied when Sean told him he simply needed the money to invest in gold. Apparently, these days, you had to give a reason to the government when you withdrew large amounts of money. Sean had decided to make a detour to his lawyer's office next, only because it was on the way to Sawyer's, and they'd go by it anyway. Pulling into the lawyer's parking lot, Sean put on the hat Roxy had bought him, as well as the glasses, and then they got out of the van and went inside.
"Sean, I'm surprised to see you here,"
Anthony Barton, his attorney, said, standing up and shaking hands.
"I thought it might be good to stop in once in a while, to see if there's anything I need to talk to you about."
"Well," Anthony said, sitting back down and motioning to them to have a seat. "The insurance on both of the trailers is taking forever because of the investigations involved. I sold both of the necklaces and took a 10% finder's fee off the top, then sent the money over to your bank. There's been some talk in the media about the two explosions and the fire at your apartment. Apparently someone with the police department has been talking to the press on the side."
Sean grimaced.
"I was afraid of that."
"Well, I got a judge involved and I'm threatening a libel suit against the paper, as well as another suit against the police department for spreading unfounded rumors. However, I'm going to need some more money."
Nodding, Sean got out his new checkbook.
"Take a check?"
Anthony laughed.
"Well, seeing as I just put a $500,000 in your account, sure."
"How much?"
$50,000 should handle everything."
Sean wrote one out for $100,000 instead.
"Here's twice that, in case I'm not able to get in here for a while. What else can you tell me?"
"Well, your other girl's father is in town."
"You know him?"
Anthony shook his head.
"I know of him. He's a well-known sheriff, after all, and with my connections in the Lycan community, I know what he is. So it didn't take long to put two and two together. Apparently, the governor put together a task force to look into this sudden surge in terrorism and asked him to lead it."
Sean nodded. He recalled Roxy mentioning that to him.
"They still haven't found Samson's car."
"Have they tried the airports?"
"The local ones, yes."
"Think you could have someone check every airport within a couple hundred miles?"
Sean asked. Anthony smiled.
"With the money you're paying me?
Easily.
What do you want me to do if I find it?"
"Just let me know where it is. I'll see about getting it back later."
"Sure. Anything else?"
"You do know about the councils, right?"
"The magical ones?"
Sean nodded.
"Yes, I'm familiar with all of them.
and I've represented some of the members of the lesser councils and covens over the years. I stay away from the major ones.
How do the ones you deal with feel about Lycans?
If they don't pass muster with my Lycan clients, I won't do business with them. Why?
Because I'm in the process of becoming very unpopular with all of the major councils. You might not want to mention to them that you represent me.
Most of the minor councils aren't very popular with the major ones either. Trust me. Further, the major councils would never want to do business with anything less than a large and prestigious agency.
Okay, well, I guess I'll be on my way. I'm having some of my mail sent here for now, because there's really no place else for it.
I'll let my secretary know. Good luck, Sean.
Sean stood, and they shook hands, and then headed back out to the van with Jolene. Well, off to Sawyer's, Jolene said.
Sean nodded, and took a moment to check the van using one of the spells that he'd copied off the CUDA.
Huh. Someone put something on the van,
Sean said to Jolene as he started it up.
How do you know that? One of the spells I got from Day tells you if someone's attached anything to your car. There's a small box on it now. So, someone's watching the lawyer's office?
Sean nodded.
And as the police are the only ones who know about him, I'm guessing that's who did it. See any suspicious cars? No. But if they did what they were going to do, I'd expect them to clear out. So what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. It'll fall off as soon as we pull out of the parking lot.
Well, that's handy, Jolene chuckled. But don't you think it would be a better idea to stick it on someone else's car? Let them chase someone else all day?
Yeah, but if we do that, they'll know that we messed with them, and they'll think we have something to hide.
But we do have something to hide.
Yeah, but they don't know that, Sean grinned. This way, they'll just think they screwed up and it fell off.
Well, let's take the long way to Sawyer's. That's the last place we want the police to follow us to.
Sean nodded.
Definitely.
Daddy!
Roxy squealed and jumped into her father's arms, hugging him.
What are you doing here?
I could ask you the same question, honey.
We were in the area, and Day thought this would be a better place for me to call you from.
You were going to call me? Bill said, looking down at his daughter.
Of course. Sean told me he talked to you, but I figured you'd probably still want to hear that I'm fine from me as well.
Bill nodded and smiled at his daughter and hugged her again. She sure seemed okay for someone who'd been shot with a silver bullet.
So, your turn. Why are you here?
Well, you and your Sean have been stirring things up all over town, and everybody's wondering just what he's going to do next, as well as what he's up to now. So, as I'm still on the governor's task force, I thought I'd use that as an excuse to poke my nose around, after what happened last night.
Bill gave a little shrug, letting go of his daughter.
I came back here to fill Samus and the other dwarven leaders in. So, just what is your Sean up to now?
Roxy smiled at him.
Well, I can't tell you too much. Right now the plan is to lay low for a few days while the current storm blows over, and start making more of these,
Roxy said, and tugged at her necklace.
I've heard he's started making those. What about the other thing? The one that protects our people against silver?
Roxy sighed.
He's working on it. It may take a year to get that started. It's a lot more complicated than this necklace is, and he needs to find a way to mass produce them.
So, it does work?
We'd both be dead if it didn't, Daddy. Right now, though, we only have the one. Until he makes more, of course.
Can he, honey?
Mass produce them?
Bill nodded to his daughter.
Once he understands it, we'll be making a lot of them. It's just a lot more complicated than this simple necklace.
I'd hardly call that necklace simple, Bill said, raising an eyebrow.
Roxy snorted.
Compared to the necklace, the silver tag is very complicated. Sean's father was a genius, and Sean's pretty damn smart himself. He's already figured out how to make a dozen necklaces in a day. Now he's trying to figure out how to make hundreds.
That's going to attract a lot of attention, honey.
Roxy nodded and sighed.
I know it. Sean knows it too. He's pretty worried about what's going to happen to people once this all starts coming to a head.
So, how are you holding up? This has to be rough on you.
He needs me, Dad. He needs all of us. He's trying to do something big, something important, something right. I'll hold up fine. This is my place, Dad. This is where I was meant to be.
Plus, Roxy blushed and looked down at the floor.
Lions are hella sexy.
Bill sighed and shook his head, smiling down at his daughter. I'll have to take your word for that. Well, let's sit and have a few beers, and I'll catch you up on what's been going on at home for the last few weeks.
Roxy nodded, and they went back to the kitchen where Dalen was talking with her uncle, and two other dwarves, who Roxy now suspected were members of the local dwarven council.
Well, as I live and breathe, if it isn't my favorite human in all of Reno,
Sawyer said, as Sean followed Jolene in the door.
You're sure in a good mood,
Jolene said, nodding hello to Marks as she passed him by the front door.
You been nipping at the sauce or something, Sawyer?
One of those bastard mages is dead, one I had some rather personal issues with over the last year. Why shouldn't I be happy? I tell you, Jolene, that kid there of yours is a credit to the Lycan race.
What did I do? Sean asked, curious.
Oh, don't be so humble. If those gals could have gotten to that cheap bastard, they would have done it a week ago.
So? How did you find out he's dead? Jolene asked.
They put his head on a pike in front of their coven house.
Sawyer laughed.
I drove by and saw it. Damn if it didn't look good. Now if I could add another 20 or so beside it, Reno would be a much nicer place.
See? Sean smiled. I didn't kill him. They did. Sawyer chuckled.
You keep telling everyone that, kid, and maybe someone will believe you. You either killed him or you delivered him. Same thing as far as I'm concerned. Come on in the back, where it's safer to talk,
Sawyer said, and led then into what Sean guessed was his office, which was surprisingly neat and fairly Spartan.
How are the Ascendants taking it? Jolene asked as they sat down.
Bad. Real bad. With that Preston boob gone, the others are jockeying for position, and a lot of the frontrunners, I hear, aren't too happy with how Harkins has been treating them. Turns out that most of those people you fried in the tower were Preston's men, on loan to Harkins. They don't appreciate the fact that their folk were being used as cannon fodder.
Well, that's good, Sean said with a nod.
What about the other councils, the major ones?
They're all in an uproar, but that's because of the bombshell Troy dropped on them.
Jolene blinked.
What was that?
He pulled out of the conclave, and Eruditio followed a minute later.
Why would he do that?
Because Troy proved that Harkins' right-hand man, the one you killed at the coven house, kid,
Sawyer said, nodding to Sean,
was directing the kidnapping. The Lithuanians weren't here because of any prophecy. They were here because Harkins and his man rose and brought them in so no one would know that Harkins had broken faith. They'd all sworn to let Sean here and his mother live normal lives, and as long as neither ever touched magic again, nothing would happen. But Harkins got greedy, and now everyone knows about it.
What are the folks in the other councils doing?
Gradathim is competing with the Ascendants, as always, and I think they got last night's wake-up call. Sapientia is starting to look like they're going the way of Eruditio, but they're still taking precautions, just in case. The Vestibulum? Morgan hates Harkins and McConnell with a passion. He hasn't weighed in officially, but word is, he won't be complaining if those two and their people take dirt naps.
What's his stance on the Lycans? Sean asked.
Let's just say that you've got your work cut out for you, kid. I don't know if he wants a war, but I don't see him giving up his Lycans all that easily.
Sean nodded.
Well, one step at a time, I guess. How are the necklaces selling?
I already sold 6 of them. I sent the money to your lawyer this morning. I got another dozen necklaces for you to enchant.
Sawyer pulled out a bag and tossed it to Sean. Looking inside it, Sean could see there were 12 in there,
Some were gold, some were white gold.
Could you add 12 ounces of silver, too?
Silver? What would you need that for?
Some experiments, obviously. Sean smiled.
So it's true, then?
Sawyer's eyes got wide.
What's true? Jolene asked.
They're saying that the kid here and Channing's girl got all shot up with silver bullets and that it didn't do anything to them.
It's mostly true, Sean nodded. But it's a long way from being ready.
Sawyer rummaged in one of his desk drawers a moment, and then put a big stack of 10-ounce silver bars on the table.
There's 3 pounds. I'll take it out of the money from the next necklace I sell.
Sean nodded his agreement to that, and motioned to Jolene to pick it all up. Something that Sean noticed Sawyer didn't miss. Sean really wasn't sure what would happen if he grabbed something made out of silver with the tag active, and he didn't want to take the chance in front of Sawyer. Jolene asked a bunch more questions, and Sean just paid them half a mind as he thought about the deal Sawyer had mentioned early.
Why had they agreed to that? Why hadn't they just killed him and his mom along with his dad? This was something he'd have to look into eventually, but for now it could wait.
After they left Sawyer's, Jolene made a bunch of phone calls while he drove around town, to make it harder for anyone to get a trace on them. Apparently, she had a lot of catching up to do. Sean hadn't realized until now just how many people she apparently knew.
Gradatim Council Chambers. Roger McConnell looked at the other 8 men gathered around the table. He knew all of them well, even Jameson, who'd only made it to one of the senior positions in the council last year. McConnell had known him since he was a young man, back when he had first joined the local coven. They were all steady men, and they all held to the principles that the Council of Gradatim had first put forth over 70 years ago.
"Gentlemen," Roger began, looking around at their faces, "I think we have here an opportunity that has gone unequaled to anything in our past before."
Roger smiled, as that got all of their attention.
"As you probably know, the child of the late Bernard Valens has come into possession of his father's secrets, secrets that I dare say would benefit us far more than it could ever benefit the animals whom his father championed."
"I thought that was only a rumor,"
Harold Sevens, seated down on the left side of the table, said.
"I hadn't heard that there had been any proof."
Roger nodded slowly.
"Yes. To many it is but a rumor. However, I have a source that says otherwise."
Roger paused a moment to let that sink in.
"A source? Where? What did they learn?"
Gerald Hoyce asked.
"Yesterday, the young Mr. Valens ordered a large production run of items from one of the dwarven factories to the south of town. One of those items is to make more of those necklaces that the animals favor so much in their effort to be more like their betters. The other item was much simpler, but its purpose was clearly hinted at."
"So, they're going to start producing this miracle of Ben Valens's, then?"
"They are ready to start creating test items, apparently."
Roger nodded.
"As they're only taking a sample delivery this week. However, they've ordered 10,000.
"Oh my God,"
Sam Wilson gasped from his spot to McConnell's right.
"We have to stop them."
"Of course we do," Roger agreed. "And we will. However, let's consider what this means first."
And Roger looked around the table.
"The young Mr. Valens must have gotten his hands on his father's notes, if he is getting ready to start production."
"And that means?"
Jameson asked.
"It means," Gerald said, a grin forming on his face, "that our leader has a clever plan to get his hands on those notes and make them ours. Am I right, Roger?"
Roger smiled and did his best to look humble.
"I have managed, for a small fee, to have something we can easily trace be placed among the first delivery. Then it will simply be a matter of following it to where the young Mr. Valens is hiding out. And at a suitable time, relieving him of them.
While removing him and his troublesome friends as well, I take it? Sam asked, smiling now as well.
Oh, of course. I see no reason for us to suffer the impertinence of the young Mr. Valens anymore, especially as he has decided to not only consort with animals, but to become one as well.
What about Harkins's people? Gerald asked. They're out there looking for the Valens brat, too. If they see us moving, we're likely to end up fighting them off as well.
Roger shook his head.
Harkins has too much on his plate right now to be worried about what we're up to. With the unexpected loss of his man, Rosen, followed by the loss of support from Preston's people, now that Preston is gone, he has found himself with little support. Many of his people are scared, and more than a few are in hiding. They see the young Mr. Valens in every shadow and hiding behind every door. Oh, I'm sure it will change, and in due time that they'll become their usual insufferable and snobbish selves again. But right now, they're out of the picture. So we can act on this without fear of their troublesome meddling.
But we'll still be careful, Sam said thoughtfully. It wouldn't do to have any of the others get wind of this.
But they all want Valens dead too, Jameson asked. Don't they? Why would they want to interfere?
Rogers pursed his lips in thought a moment.
While the councils of Eruditio and Sapientia don't see the dangers involved yet, I feel that the Council of Vestibulum is simply hoping that the young Mr. Valens will continue his attacks on the Council of Ascendance. I have no doubt that they'll step in once Harkins and his people have been reduced to insignificance. However, if they were to get wind of the fact that we're going after Bernard Valens's notes, I suspect they would show up in force and try to take them from us, once we have liberated them from Bernard's son.
Jameson looked at him. Roger could see the curiosity in his eyes.
Why are those notes important?
Jameson asked slowly,
What am I missing here?
Roger smiled.
Think of what we could do if the animals we keep in thrall to us could not be harmed by the weapons of the others. Our armies could easily overwhelm any we sent them against. Not only would the Council of Gradatim finally achieve its rightful dominium over all of the other councils, but we, the members of the Reno Coven, would no doubt rise quickly to the leadership of all of Gradatim. And further, who knows what other secrets lay in those notes? If Bernard Valens was able to conquer the secret of silver for the animals, I'm sure there are other things we would find of great value in there as well. You see, when the decision to stop Bernard Valens was made, I made the argument then that we should enslave him, make him work for us, because the man was a genius. Of that there was no doubt. But certain other parties,
Roger grimaced with distaste at the memory of that argument,
thought that such knowledge would be better off lost. Whether or not that was true, or if it was simply a ploy to delay the rest of us while they hired a man to kill Bernard and hopefully steal his secrets, none of us know. Once the deed was done, everyone simply forgot about it. But apparently not Harkins or his people. That is why they broke faith with the Conclave and tried to grab the young Mr. Valens. But they failed, and now it is our turn to take that which must be ours.
Roger started in his seat then, as the others started to clap. And then they actually stood up around the table. He knew that they would like his plan. How couldn't they? He'd led the local council so successfully for the last 25 years now, and with this opportunity, he was sure he'd rise enough to spend the next 20 ruling all of Gradatim as well.
Please, sit,
Roger said with mock humility, as he motioned with his hands for them to sit back down.
You're embarrassing me. Your continued support is all that I've ever asked for.
And you'll have it,
Charles Ryan said from where he sat on Rogers's left.
Yes,
the others said and nodded in agreement together.
You'll have it.
Roger nodded again and smiled at all of them.
Sam, I want you to be in charge of the assault.
Do you want me to use any of our animals on this?
Roger nodded.
Yes, they can lead the charge, as it were. Just don't take too many, or our best ones. You may have to put them down afterwards if they learn too much.
Of course, Sam agreed.
Roger, Jameson spoke up, if I may, I'd like to volunteer to go along on this.
Roger glanced at Sam out of the corner of his eye, who gave a small nod.
Of course, David. I'm sure Sam will welcome all the help he can get.
Jameson smiled.
Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome.
Roger wondered how many of the others would approach Sam after the meeting and ask to be on the team as well. None of these men had gotten here by being timid, and they could all see just what they stood to gain once they got their hands on those notes.
Sam, you've got until Tuesday to get ready for this. The first delivery is on Wednesday. I'll let you know where once I know.
That's it for now,
Roger said, dismissing them.
Charles, if you could stay a minute,
Roger added. Charles Ryan nodded and sat at the table, waiting as the others all left. Being the most junior, Jameson left last, closing the door behind him as he did. Yes, Roger?
There's going to be a lot of temptation among some of our people once Sam gets his hands on Bernard Valens's notes. I want you to make sure that if he or his compatriots are tempted, that they don't become a problem. Understand?
Charles nodded. I think David is on the up and up, but I've had my doubts about Sam of late. I suspect he's been thinking about putting his own butt in your seat.
If this goes off well, he can have it when I move to Los Angeles to take over there. But if he's thinking about supplanting me in all things, well, I want to make sure you nip that in the bud, as it were.
Charles smiled. Honestly, I wouldn't mind taking over the Reno Council once you move up. I kind of like it here, and the kids would probably kill me if we went to L.A. with you.
Roger chuckled at that. Charles knew that when Roger moved up, Charles would still be his man and would go with him. And Roger knew that too.
Roger always made sure that Charles got whatever he wanted, and Charles knew that few people would be as accepting of some of his more interesting hobbies than Roger was.
Oh, I'm sure the kids will forgive you, Charles, once they see the beaches.
Sean came down the stairs from the garage with the bag of necklaces in his hand.
What's that? Dalen asked.
A dozen gold necklaces, Sean smiled.
Oh,
Roxy sat up suddenly in her seat, putting down the book she'd been reading.
We're making necklaces?
She asked, bouncing on the seat.
Well, I was hoping for some help, Sean said with a wink.
I'll go get the bedroom ready,
Jolene chuckled, walking past Sean.
I suggest you two bring a couple pitchers of water, and maybe one or two of beer as well.
What are you talking about?
Dalen asked, looking back and forth between Sean and Roxy.
What does making necklaces mean?
I'll get the refreshments,
Roxy said, skipping off into the kitchen, pulling her clothes off along the way. Sean smirked and shook his head.
Remember how I told you we made the necklaces together?
Dalen nodded.
So?
We used Joe's tantric magic to link us all together and had sex.
What?
Dalen's eyes got wide.
Don't knock it until you've tried it, hon,
Roxy called from the kitchen.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. Joe won't even let us do it too often. Says it can be habit-forming.
Wait, you're going to make magical items with sex?
Sean looked down at Dalen, who was looking just a little bit worried.
No, Sean said.
Then,
Dalen asked, we are going to make magical items with the power generated by sex. Sean grinned, and grabbing Dalen by the hand, he dragged her off towards the bedroom.
But I'm not into sex with other women,
Dalen balked.
You've had sex with me with the others around, haven't you?
Sean asked.
Well, that was different.
How?
We weren't touching.
Sean shrugged and dragged Dalen into the bedroom.
Jolene was already naked and had already turned down the sheets on the bed. The foam camping mattresses weren't the most comfortable, but they weren't all that bad.
No one's asking you to do anything with them that you don't want to, Sean said. But you're my wife, and I definitely want to experience this with you. Trust me, you'll enjoy it.
But doesn't Joe have to be touching me? Dalen asked a bit warily.
She only has to be touching one of us. Sean smiled, and pulling Dalen close, he kissed her. Now, settle down. This is going to take a lot of energy from all of us, but especially me.
Don't worry, Day, Jolene said in a soothing voice. I don't expect you to do the things that Roxy does with me, but we will be sharing Sean, and we will be sharing him together, okay?
Dalen looked a little uncertain, but Sean's hands were already inside her coveralls, and they were definitely working their magic. She liked it when he put his hands on her, because he loved her and he desired her. Even with the other two around, Sean's desire for her was always clear. How he could want her so much, while still wanting the other two, she didn't quite understand. Roxy had told her that it was a lion thing, and to just accept it. So she had. And besides, she had made love to Sean with the others in the same bed, even.
Okay,
Dalen said, and smiled a little shyly, as Sean pulled the zipper on her coveralls all the way down to the bottom. She let her own hands start undoing his pants.
Just take it easy with me, okay, Joe?
Of course, Day. If you're not relaxed and having fun, this won't work very well.
Aren't you going to ask me to go easy on you?
Sean teased, and then, grabbing his shirt, he pulled it up over his head and tossed it on the floor.
Oh, hells no. I expect you to work, lion boy.
Dalen giggled. Just then, Roxy sauntered into the room, stark naked with four pitchers, two of which were filled with beer.
Now, let's get this party started,
Roxy laughed. Sean picked up Dalen and carefully carried her to the center of the bed while kissing her. Thankfully, the bed here was rather large, so getting the four of them on it wouldn't be too much of a problem. He took his time with Dalen, working her up slowly, making love to her. This would be her first encounter with tantric magic, as well as her first encounter with a spell this powerful, so he wanted it to be special for her. Roxy and Jolene were already romantically entwined, as they started to get relaxed and in the mood as well. Sean wondered just how this was going to work. But when he moved to Mount Dalen, Jolene had him lay on his back, with Dalen on top of him, sitting upright. Roxy then straddled his face, only this time she was facing away from Dalen, and lying forward started in on Jolene, as he started in on Roxy. Dalen didn't seem to mind at that point, and Sean was massaging Dalen's chest with one hand, while massaging Roxy's with the other, as they all climbed toward their heights. Sean brought up his monitoring spell and could see that Jolene was working her magic. And if what he was seeing was right, Dalen definitely wasn't average when it came to energy from a female dwarf. Pinching a couple of nipples and getting creative with his other efforts as well, Sean watched as they all started to rise to their peaks. As Roxy slipped a necklace into his hand, and then shivered as the cold metal pressed against her sensitive flesh. And then they were all there. Triggering the tar ball to unpack into the necklace, Sean bucked up beneath Dalen and Roxy as he went over the edge from the surge of magic, all three of the girls joining him as one.
Wow,
he heard Dalen gasp, catching her breath when they all finally wound down from their orgasms.
What was that?
Welcome to the joys of tantric magic.
Roxy giggled and squirmed on Sean's face as she took the first necklace from his hand and gave him a second one.
How many times are we going to do that?
Dalen asked, still panting.
11 more,
Roxy giggled, as Sean grabbed her hips and, pushing her up a bit, he noticed that she'd shifted as she'd orgasmed, and her tail was wrapped rather tightly around his arm.
Can we try a different position this time?
Dalen asked, and glancing down his body, Sean could see she was blushing just a little.
We can try as many positions as you like, Joe sighed happily.
Sean decided he should probably shift as well. He had a sneaking suspicion that once they'd finished the necklaces, that they'd probably want to put him through his paces a few more times. If nothing else, the next 7 or so hours were definitely going to be ones to remember. Sunday. Sean sighed and set his father's book down. There was a lot in it. Months, probably even years worth of information. The more he delved into it, the deeper it seemed to go. It was beyond advanced. It was damn near theoretical. Obviously, his father had gotten very involved in theoretical physics and had spent a lot of time studying some pretty advanced topics. Sean gathered that his father had started out trying to understand why silver affected lichens and was hoping to find a cure or a way to stop its effects on them. But somewhere along the course of his studies, he'd changed direction and decided that rather than change lichens, he could more easily change silver instead. The spell to change silver, while complicated, was the least involved thing in the device he'd been calling the silver tag. Using it took a fair amount of energy, and that energy requirement increased quickly as more and more silver atoms hit the shield. That required an energy management spell. That took the energy that was released by the magically induced alpha decay and then parceled the energy back out to the numerous functions of the tag, and there were a lot of other spells running inside it. The spell that kept the radiation down, the spell that managed the shield, the spell that increased the shield's power and effectiveness, another spell to deal with excess heat and energy. While going through them, he found that the device actually did rely on the lichen necklace his father had designed as well, using its power storage capabilities as well as its connection to the lichen wearing the necklace to determine the shield's coverage. There were even startup spells, or routines, as Sean preferred to think about it, that ran when you first connected the tag. One of those swept the body for any silver inside the shield before building it. That was what had saved Roxy. But the function also had a tendency to drain the necklace of its energy, and could in fact drain energy from the wearer. Apparently, there were other side effects as well, which explained Roxy's extreme behavior when he put the tag on her, and the longer you waited, the worse they got. The tag also wouldn't work without it being attached to a collar, or a similar supporting artifact made specifically to accept it. The reason for that quickly became clear. Because if you put one on top of a bar of silver, it would immediately start changing the silver, and without anything to regulate it, it would eventually heat up to the point where the silver became molten, followed next by the tag, which as soon as it started to melt and deform would cause the destruction of the enchantments on it. The tag would then explode, throwing molten silver and rhodium everywhere, with quite a bit of force. From the way it was described, Sean got the distinct impression his father had performed that experiment. But still, he was gaining knowledge about just how to take the energy from the alpha decay as the silver was transformed so he could use it to make more tags and collars. Doing it himself would be dangerous. There was a lot of energy involved, and the opportunity for errors was pretty large. But he was sure that he could make a device to handle it. It would just take time. Sean was surprised that his father hadn't seen the possibility there, of using the power from the silver to enchant items. But then, Sean's tarball spell appeared to be something completely unknown to the magic-using community. He wondered briefly if it ever would have occurred to him if he hadn't been going to school for computer programming. Probably not. Most magic users apparently shunned a lot of technology, because they didn't like the idea of wasting their time and energy on anything that wasn't magic or magically related.
"How's it going?"
Roxy asked, coming into the room in her hybrid form, stretching and drawing his appreciative look, as she wasn't wearing anything other than a smile.
"Slowly, but I think I'm starting to make headway," Sean said,
and putting down the book, he stretched as well. He'd come out here about an hour ago after waking up. The girls had all still been sound asleep. Yesterday's marathon session had really taken a lot out of all of them.
"Where's Day and Joe?"
he asked, looking around confused.
"Oh, they're still in bed."
Roxy grinned. "You left Day alone with Joe?" Sean asked, a little concerned. Daylin had unbent a fair bit last night,
during the antics of what had taken place while they'd been making necklaces, but Sean was still a bit concerned.
Joe's giving her a massage, Roxy smiled. Day's finally starting to get used to having other people's hands on her, and I think she's starting to trust Joe a bit more after what the four of us did yesterday.
I was still surprised she let the two of you do some of the things to her that you did, Sean confessed.
Well, part of that was because you were there, and she knows you won't let anything bad happen to her. You're our alpha male, after all, hon.
Roxy grinned.
And I'm sure part of that was because she got caught up in the heat of the moment after all of those intense emotions that Joe's tantric magic triggered in us. But I also think she's starting to understand that Joe's very much grounded in the physical, and that she expresses her feelings rather openly.
Very openly, Sean grinned. Roxy snickered.
Oh, yeah. But I've seen Joe with someone who she liked, but didn't love. Trust me. The difference is like night and day. Joe loves you, and she loves me.
And Day?
She liked Day from the get-go.
Roxy smiled.
And now that she's getting to know her better, she's starting to love her.
Sean looked a little surprised.
That quickly?
Roxy tilted her head to the side and shrugged.
She's got a lot of mind magic. Last night when Day joined with us while we were all having sex, I'm sure Joe turned some of it on her. I think it's just part of how the whole tantric magic thing works. I don't know if you noticed it last night, but Joe was showing a lot of affection towards Day after we finished with the last necklace.
Really?
Sean was surprised, because he hadn't noticed it. Then again, he'd been pretty dazed still when they'd finally let him rest. He'd fallen asleep not long after giving each of them a hug and a kiss, and reminding them how much he loved them.
How did Day take it?
Not all that different than the way she took it from you when you first pursued her. I think it's kind of obvious that she had a rough childhood, growing up an orphan and being so tall and all. What she gets from you really affects her in a big way. Now she's starting to get it from Joe as well.
What about you? Sean teased.
Oh, I'm sure she'll get it from me, too.
Roxy giggled.
Once Joe's broken her in, of course. As the senior wife in this pride, I have to maintain my dominance after all.
Well, let's go make some food. I'm sure they'll be hungry when they get out here, Sean said.
Then we need to box up those collars and see about making a few deliveries.
It's Sunday,
Roxy laughed.
The post office is closed.
Well, at least we can box them up. Day or you can drop them off tomorrow then.
So, what's the plan for today?
Sean pointed to his father's book.
I'm going to spend all of today relaxing and studying. I need to start thinking about that device to use silver to make magical items, and just how it's going to work. I think the first one is going to have to be something I'll have to use personally, but I don't know how well that will work.
Why not?
Roxy asked, leading him into the kitchen where he helped her get out their meager collection of cookware.
Because it takes about a minute for me to enchant something, so if I want to enchant 10,000 tags or 10,000 of anything, that's 17 days at 10 hours a day.
Roxy nodded. And Sean watched with interest as she bent over to get some food out of the fridge, her tail hiking up.
Yeah, I can see where that might be a problem,
Roxy said, and then looking back at him under her arm, she gave him a smile.
I thought you were tired.
I can still appreciate the view, Sean laughed. And if I didn't think they'd be out here looking for food soon, I'd show you that I've mostly recovered.
Roxy laughed.
Apparently.
Standing back up, she set the food on the stone counter. Everything in here was made of stone or metal. The place had definitely been made to last.
Well, let's get breakfast started. I'm hungry too.
Roxy grinned. When Joe and Daylin came out of the bedroom sometime later, the first thing Sean noticed was that neither had bothered dressing. The second was that they were actually holding hands. Daylin looked a little embarrassed and shy when Sean saw them, while Jolene just looked happy.
Coming over, they both kissed Sean good morning, and then sat at the table as he and Roxy served them breakfast, making more of whatever they asked for. Sean smiled and was just happy that Dalen seemed a lot more comfortable with Jolene and even Roxy this morning. He didn't ask any questions or tease Dalen about what might have happened. The last thing he wanted was for her to be self-conscious. They were all going to be together for the rest of their lives, after all. Sean smiled as he thought about that. He had a family now. He'd have to find a way to let his mother know. He had a feeling it would make her very happy.
"What's got you smiling?" Jolene asked.
"I'm just thinking about us," Sean admitted. "For all of what brought us together. I'm just so happy that we all have each other, and I think we've all been blessed."
"That may be,"
Roxy sighed.
"But we still have a long and hard journey ahead of us."
Sean shrugged.
"Yeah, but like you told me the other day, we're not in a rush, right? Once we start producing the collars and the silver tags, we wait until we have a nice huge pile of them, and then we just pass the tags out all in a night or two. Fait accompli, and the heat is off then, right?"
"I don't know,"
Dalen spoke up.
"I think you should run that tactic past your friend Chad first. Remember, the last thing my uncle wants is a war. If suddenly all of the Lycans find they have nothing to fear from the magic users, there'll be an immediate raid on the ones still holding Lycans, and probably some reprisal raids even on the ones who aren't."
Sean thought about that.
"I'll talk to Chad. I'll also talk to Samus and even Roxy's dad first.
You're probably right, but still, once we do manage to start making those tags and get thousands of them out there, I don't think they'll be interested in me anymore."
"We can only hope,"
the girls all agreed. Domestic Bliss. Sean spent most of Monday studying his father's notes. There was a tremendous amount of information there. Everything from advanced techniques for enchanting different types of items to the spells he'd worked on while trying to figure out how to deal with the whole silver issue. Then there were the spells he'd developed in the process of developing his solution, as well as the ones involved in the actual solution. Sean could see that he could easily spend months, if not years, trying to learn everything in the book. But the first thing he really needed to do was just learn what was in the book, and after he had an idea of that, he could pick where he wanted to start his learning first. So, rather than just diving in and learning any more spells from the book just yet, Sean thought it would be better to put that activity on hold for a few days while he figured out just where he wanted to start. The spell that converted silver was one he should learn first, as well as the energy management spell. But then there were a bunch of enchanting spells of his father's he should probably learn as well. Then there were recharging spells, and bonding spells, and locking spells, and, well, there was just a lot. Sean had been thinking of going back and learning a bunch more offensive spells to use in the fights that he was sure were coming, but if he did that, then he couldn't do this, he realized, looking at the book. It just wasn't the whole requirement to devote a portion of his available power to learning a new spell or enchantment. It was also the devoting of his personal time in the studying and learning of those new things. He could definitely see why people specialized. You only had so much power and so much time in a day. Then, on top of that, there were casting power issues. Sure, Lycans have about 6 times the power of a human, but a human didn't have the power drain that shifting and regeneration took. Shifting took power, and if you didn't have enough, you couldn't shift. Or if you were wounded, you couldn't regenerate. Worse, if your wound was serious enough, your body would use your life energy to try and regenerate, in effect eating itself magically and killing you. "Joe," Sean said, looking over at her as she and Roxy took turns painting each other's toenails. Dalen was up in the garage tinkering on the van.
"Hmm?"
she asked, looking at him. "How do humans manage their magic? I mean, they have so much less than I do. And looking at how much energy some of these spells cost to cast..." Sean shrugged. "How do they do it?"
"I thought you'd conquered that with those framework spells of yours."
Sean shook his head.
"I'm able to cast most standard spells using less energy, but with trying to hold enough back to shift or regenerate, I'm still looking at trade-offs and wondering how you do it with so much less."
That's why they use lichens.
Jolene sighed.
At least when it comes to fighting each other, or large organized groups of humans. You know the old saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king?
Sean.